Welcome to Everything Scary at 3 a.m. My name is John, and with me as always is Mandy.
Hey,
and
I'm here.
Today we're going to be watching some Tubi, some deliciously janky Tubi TV for free.
So janky.
Oh, it's going to be fun. Oh, I'm so excited. Yes.
I don't want.
Yes, I'm excited because it's what do they say? It's the first movie of high-tech terror or like high-tech horror.
High-tech terror.
Or something
high-tech
like that.
Horror.
I don't know. It's definitely not.
Shenanigans.
It's not the first movie of high-tech terror, I can tell you that
because
one.
Because it's definitely not high-tech in any way, shape, or form.
Oh my god, it looks so interesting. And of course, we're talking about 1986's Nightmare Weekend. You can find this one on Tubi very easily. This one's actually been sitting in my list for Tubi for a while. So, today's the day. Today is the day that we start up. I'm excited about this one. The more that I find out about it, the more excited I am. Like, the director is a man named, so it says Henry, H-E-N-R-I, but he's French, so I think it's Henri. So it's Henri Salla. And he did 38 films between 1974 and 1986.
That's a lot.
38. And I'm just like, almost all of them were French. In fact, This is the only one that has an English title. And almost all of the rest were porn. Just porn. And like, not just like... Like, oh, that's porn. No, it was erotica.
Is it French porn? Right?
It's sophisticated kind of porn. It's like, yes. You know, you have your pinky out, that kind of stuff.
It's like it would be called two baguettes and an eclair.
Yeah, it's that along those lines. Yes, of course. But no, he I guess they're sophisticated or something like that. I cannot find anything about him because, you know, it's porn from France from like 1974.
I'm really glad that you
could not
find
those. I'm sure somebody's going to tell us about it.
I'm really glad you didn't find those.
You know, don't tell us about it because I don't want to know. But this is the only English film that he did. And he was only the director. The writers were...
George Faggot Bernard.
Yeah, that is a terrible name. Because that is
you know what?
F-A-G-E-T.
We'll pronounce it differently. It's George Faggot Bernard.
We're going to go with that.
Faggot.
That is a terrible name.
Anyways, that's it. He did not do anything.
Credit. At all on IMDb, so yep. Hopefully he went out being maybe he repaired roofs after that.
Seriously,
what if he was a baker and he did make a show? Like he was like, I'm gonna make a show called Two Baguettes and Eclair, and then he never did because it was 1974 and he was French. Maybe he did something else.
Oh, it's so bad.
I don't know. This one has been sitting for a while. Maybe Robert Seedman.
It looks like Seedman.
Who did this one actually was the main writer because he actually has several other writing credits. He did 1984's Vamping, which I have no idea what the hell that one's about. But he did one in 2018, so he's still around. It's a documentary style show, I guess. Joseph Pulitzer, Voice of the People, and then 1993's Waiting for Beckett. Which also is like an okay situation.
I've never heard of any of these things.
I don't think you ever will because this is a very niche movie. In fact, there's really only a couple of people in here that are people that you would have heard about. We've got two women who would be named Debbie. We've got Debbie Laster and Deborah Hunter. Deborah Hunter, this is her only credit. That's all she's got. Debbie Laster.
Debbie.
Debbie. Debbie Laster. This is her only other credit except for 1986's Bad Girl Dormitory, where she... So this... Basically, 1986 was her movie day. It's like, I'm going to do movies for 1 year, and it's going to be 1986.
And it's all going to be done by, you know... Or just a slutty shit is all I'm working on in 1986.
That's all she wanted to do. That's was her thing. Thankfully, we have other people involved in this, though. Who else do we have?
We have Dale Medkiff, which I'm really excited about. Dale Medkiff, he actually was in our previous episode, number 67. He was in Pet Sematary, the original.
The good one, yeah.
Yes, and we also know him from the TV series Time Tracks. And he was also in the 2000s version of The Crow Salvation.
Yes. If anybody knows Time Tracks.
I swear he was the dude. He was the
he
sheriff.
He's not the guy from Wings. I know. It's weird. It's not him, though. It's the weirdest thing.
I swear
thing.
He was the sheriff in Storm of the Century. You look this up. Just type in Storm of the Century and see who did it.
I'm looking it up. I'm wondering if that was one of the good ones. Because
this is driving me freaking bonkers, and it's not.
Storm of the Century. It's gotta be. Oh, Tim Daly.
Is it Tim Daly?
Tim Daly.
Oh, he looks. Oh man.
Yeah, well, that's what he looks like here. He does look very similar to Dale Medkiff.
Man.
I'm not going to say he doesn't.
I don't make those mistakes a lot either.
They're very similar looking dudes.
I mean, they could be twins. Like
if you, especially if you looked at him from Wings. Because that was...
Yeah. Uncanny Valley for sure. Anyways, so it has the dad from Pet Sematary, the first one. So, see, I'm going to feel like an idiot because they're going to pull him up side by side.
Look, yeah, see, seriously.
Yeah.
That, like, it looks ridiculously like him.
Uncanny Valley,
you,
for sure.
You do the was it Dale? Dale!
Dale Medkiff.
Called him Dale. Dale Medkiff. And then see, yeah. So that's his old one.
They
look very similar.
Okay.
They're very similar looking guys. Okay. I would say that Tim Daly has more of a sitcom dad look, though.
He does. Yeah, he does.
Dale Medkiff, he's going to do the terrible... like horror movies for the rest of his life thing. Dale Medkiff has been in a serious ass load of shows. Like I did not realize that. I'm gonna tell you, like, so he was in 2018's Hell's Kitty. He's in okay. Oh yeah, you know, in fact the best part is Hell's Kitty is a movie from 2018, but it was also a show apparently in 2011, which he was also in. My God. I remember him being in 2012's Doomsday because that was a direct-to-Syfy channel movie.
Yes, I do remember Doomsday.
He was in... Oh, God, was he in... He was just in so much crap. I felt so bad for him. I was like, oh, it's him again. Dude, you were so good in Time Tracks. Why? But, God, he was in most of the leading TV shows from a long time ago. We got, without a trace, we got Crossing Jordan. We've got CSI Miami, Dexter. We got, oh, God, Criminal Minds, Lie to Me. Castle. He was in Castle.
Mm-hmm.
So a whole bunch of movies. So, I mean, he was trying.
He's
trying
to get stuff out. Apparently, this is one of his first things that he's done. And we'll see how bad it is.
Yeah, and it's not that great. But we got a couple other people who can kind of round everything out. We got Andrea Thompson, who was Talia Winters in Babylon 5. We also got Robert John Burke, who is the lead character from 1996's Thinner. And you're also going to remember him, if you didn't watch that one, from RoboCop 3, where he was RoboCop when they couldn't get, what's his name back?
Peter Welling?
Yeah, Weller.
Weller.
Either. But yes, so lots of people in this one. It's exciting. I'm excited to see this movie.
I am not.
It's got to be just a train wreck that's like fun to pop some popcorn. Watch along with us. We're going to pause it here, and we will be right back.
I'm going to go drink heavily.
I might too. Who knows? We'll just see how this ends out.
Get through this movie.
If you can even understand us after this, I'll be surprised.
All right, we'll be back.
You are about to enter the 21st century of terror. Nightmare Weekend, when computer technology goes mad.
Now you're gonna die! You die!
And high-tech action gets out of control. Nightmare Weekend. A group of college students were invited to spend a pleasure weekend in a mansion. You had no sin. But instead experienced a nightmare weekend. Nightmare Weekend.
And we're back.
We're back.
Oh my God, yes.
No.
Oh yeah.
No.
Oh, it was terrible.
Totally.
Oh my God, it was so awful.
Awful.
Oh, I loved it.
Awful.
Oh, he's so bad. Oh, no, come on. Come on.
No, I wouldn't. No, I'm never going to watch this movie again. Ever. This movie needs to be called Soft Porn Phantasm.
It did have very many elements of the Phantasm series.
And very many soft porn parts.
Yeah, it was, I mean, hell, they got their money's worth by
getting like Skinamax. That's
very much how it was, because this was shot in the, this wasn't so much of porn as in erotica. It was like, let's go ahead and have, like, love, like, you know, music playing, and then people doing, like, sensuous things to each other.
A lot of fur.
I was like,
there's a lot of fur.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I get it. Okay, so it starts off, as it turns out, this is a trauma movie. A Trauma Presents, at least. Definitely not a trauma, you know, made one, but it's definitely in there. And the way that it starts out was two guys come off of a plane, and they go over to a house. We don't know what they're doing, but they're talking to somebody on a mic. We know that they're best friends. How do we know they're best friends? Well, because they have the little best friend medallions. Like, go around their necks.
It's literally a best friend's necklace.
You know, the one that says best and then friend, and you put them together in their little hearts.
Full-grown men are wearing best friend necklaces.
Oh, yeah. And we know one of them is Dale Medcalf, and we also know that one of them is Dale Medcalf not being able to ride a motorcycle because his motorcycle helmet is blackout. Like, so nobody can see anything on it. So we can't tell that the person who's riding the motorcycle is not Dale Medcalf. Because, yeah, no, man cannot ride a bike.
Sure, I mean, it could be, maybe. Anyways, so that happens.
Oh, we do get the first kill, too. So what happens is that Dale Medcalf's friend, I think his name is Bob, I don't know, it's Mr. McDead, goes up on top of a house that we find that has several satellite dishes, and he starts fiddling around with it. But unfortunately, then his best friend forever, never gonna betray me, medallion turns into a small silver ball, then goes directly into the man's face.
And his eyeball.
Yeah, and kills him. And melts the face off, too.
It makes his eyeball drop out, and he's all playing with his eye, because he's not even holding it. He's just like, you know those little metal balls that would make music?
And the ones that have, like, the ching, the I ching ball, you know, things where you do it, yeah.
Yeah, that's what it looked like. That's
a little bit, yeah. It's a little larger than a marble. It's golf ball size. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if they weren't silver golf balls. But yeah, it goes directly into one eye. The other eye begins to shoot out, and then for some reason, his face melts. The guy falls all the way down, and then we also get a little later the one of the main bad ladies trying to tell him that it was just an accident. I mean, I don't know. What kind of industrial accident that you would have to have seen and be like, oh yeah, no, that could definitely have been an accident. No, it wasn't on purpose at all. I'm like, what the hell happened here? But the basic gist of the story that we get a little bit later is, because we do see some girls chit-chatting and we see that...
Getting into a limo.
Yeah, well, no, so we got the girl explaining at the Jazzercise thing that she's going to be going off for the weekend to a place that they don't know, but they're not going to talk about it, but they can't talk about it because they don't know about it, and they're also going to get a limo picked up.
I don't even remember that part.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, there was a whole lot of stuff on there because it's Clingstone. The main villainess in this one is named Clingstone. I think that one is played by the Debbie girl. Or maybe it's Deborah. I couldn't remember which one it was.
She's not a very attractive lady.
No, that was an unfortunate part. Which is also bad because we do see a lot of nudity in this one. It was very interesting. That one would have been... Yeah, Debbie. Debbie was Julia Clingstone. Because nothing sounds better than Julia Clingstone. And you know what the funniest thing to me, though, is we've got Debbie Laster. We've got Deborah Hunter. So... Debbie is playing Julia Clingstone. Deborah is playing Jessica Brake. So they both have J names too. Like, really?
Deborah and Debbie. Those are not the same
Deborah,
names.
Deborah, Debbie, Julie, Jessica.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, no, but they have J names. They couldn't have been like Kitten or, you know, Margaret. Something like that. No, we had to have them have two J names at the same time on there.
So should we call them something else? That way we don't get confused.
I'm just going to call them Girl and Bitch. Like, because that's all they are to me.
Okay.
But no, so what happens at this point is we get a long meandering set of stuff happening. The basic thing kind of boils down to this. We have girl talking to her friends. She is the daughter of a brilliant computer designer who has somehow found a way to not only change molecular structures, turn things from, say, an object like a bowl or something else into a small sphere that goes into somebody and then also changes their way of thinking. Very much like the phantasm balls, but instead of blood squirting out, it just kills dogs, apparently. The professor who created all this has a colleague or secretary, I don't know how the hell that works, and that's Julia Klingstone, who is totally betraying him because she's accelerating everything past human trials, doesn't really give a crap about it, and she's going to give all the information over to some mysterious guy
some
that
bad
we never
dude.
See. Yeah. We also have, she's assisted in this by a bunch of people at a mansion where the test subjects are. We have butler, we have
maid,
and then we have driver. The driver keeps eating special sandwiches. I say eating because they're not really eating.
It's two pieces of bread, and between the pieces of bread is a bottle of booze.
And he drinks it because he's an alcoholic, and he's constantly doing it there. And I'm like, I don't...
It's not even funny.
It's just kind of funny to me.
It's just silly.
She's also assisted by Ken, who is Del Medkiff. She was previously assisted by Bob, but Bob got his face mushed. Then we have a whole set of people at a bar for some reason. We have, the leader of the Scorpions from Greece, his slutty girlfriend. We have Oates from Hall & Oates and Proto-Steve Gutenberg. That's pretty much it. Then we got bartender guy.
And then there was a slutty really girl. Did you say
I already
girl?
Had slutty girls, yeah. Okay. We don't have the three slutty girls who are the...
The one who gets boinked on a pinball machine?
That's the leader of the Scorpion's girlfriend. Yeah,
okay.
I said that.
Okay, well then yes, that her.
So it's a weird part. We get a whole bunch of random crap happening at this point. But the whole point is that Julie Klingstone is going to take three random subjects, put little balls in their mouths, and turn them into neurotics, I guess. They kept calling them neuropaths, and I'm like, I don't know what that means, but basically if you don't do the ball right, or if you use too much power, it makes you do things that you don't want to do. Unfortunately, there's not a whole lot that people don't want to do in this movie, because we have, what do we have? We had the sequence where the driver is picking up the girls, and he drives them to a bar because they were eating a sandwich that was very dry, almost like cardboard, from what I remember.
And they wanted a drink.
They wanted a drink. So he took them to a bar. He got himself another bread
special sandwich.
Yeah, a special sandwich. And while there, they hit on Oates and his Gutenberg. Gutenberg goes outside and punctures one of the tires. And then Oates convinces the driver to let him tag along, which they do. And unfortunately, they have to pull over. But thankfully, Gutenberg is there and he's bopping around on his little Walkman that he's got with him permanently. And he's so happy about that Walkman. But he hangs out with the other girls while Oates plows the brunette, I guess, or redhead.
The
I don't even remember
one?
What she was. Yeah, well,
they were all slutty. Yeah.
That's the problem.
She was the first slutty one.
But she just plows her while the guy is trying to change the.
The limo driver is trying to change the damn tire.
And they're rocking the damn boat. I'm like sitting there like going, you can't do that. The man's not going to be able to. And of course he can't. That's actually a plot point with him like, you know, dropping the thing off to the side as they're having sex. And that's when Oates gets out and he drives back to the bar. And I guess he buys it later.
Yeah, because his dad buys him everything.
Which
was stupid and pointless.
But I don't understand that. Yeah, I'm trying to remember what the hell else is happening at this point. We do know that we have one of the maid is scared of spiders. That does come back up later.
Oh, what's her name? The daughter, Jessica. Jessica is talking to the computer program.
Oh, yes. So, yeah, there's a hand puppet in this one. You know what it reminded me of was the puppet. There was, I want to say it was like the Innkeepers, or it was like Ghost Mansion or something like that, where it had like this weird clown doll that a little girl was running around with. It was this odd puppet that apparently was attached at, and fully, it's a fully interactive AI. Like, I mean, this is like Forbin the Colossus experiment, like, or project, or whatever the hell it's called, like levels of interactivity with a machine as a puppet.
And his name is George.
Yes, which George is connected to Apache. Apache is the computer system that is allowing all of this shenanigans to happen. It allows him to also remote control cars, because Julie goes to pick up a dog for experimentation, and then George takes it over and they play Pole Position.
You know, if she had just crashed the damn car and killed her at the very beginning, none of this would have happened.
Well, yeah, I mean, but, you know, she's not a malicious, evil girl. She's, you know, young and innocent. We know that because we repeatedly hear her being young and innocent, you know, during the whole thing. I swear to God, that is literally, like, her thing. She, you know what she reminded me of was, like, a little bit of,
She looked like the chick from The Wonder Years.
Yes, Dana McCarrigan. Mm. Or Dana? Danica? The yeah, that girl. She like a proto version of that. Mm-hmm. And then she also kind of had a vibe like she was trying to be Jennifer Connelly in like Labyrinth.
I could see it. Yeah.
So she was really trying to go for that. Because she even, she gets all mouthy. She crashes the girl's car while she's in it. Or no, while she's not in it. Mm-hmm. Like, so no, the car is moving. She's like, yeah, go ahead and give me your car again. And she smashes it into a wall. She's like, oopsie poodles. I knew I had complete control over the car and destroyed it with my magical teleporting matter reconfiguring computer with a puppet on it.
With my puppet, George.
Yeah. You know, I'm just going to go ahead and skate on out of here, which she does. She skates on out, and that's when she literally runs into Del Medkiff, who is Ken in this one, who is going through some stuff. He's you know, all upset about Bob's death. We actually do see a little sequence of how Bob and he became besties, which was some dude tried to steal money. They were doing this thing where they put a bunch of...
It was like a weird, like, motorcycle race.
Yeah. So they were doing like a little spin. Like,
and whoever could pick up the can full of money won it.
Yeah.
And then some other guy took it. And then some other dude took it, which was actually his best friend Bob, I guess.
No. So Bob is the one who went over there and like took it back, but he also had his bike kicked over onto him.
Oh, okay.
And that's when Dale saved him, and apparently that's when they became bestest friends.
Best bros.
Yeah. So much so that they even had to, you know, get a little medallion and break it in half. And the fact that it's not the Dungeon Double Dragons, you know, medallion, it's not the most manly of things.
Wasted boys. Potential.
So Dale literally like runs into her. She goes inside, tries to be cute, falls over like three times, and then sits in the corner.
I felt like that was like watching me do things, because I feel like I'm that much of a klutz where I'd be like,
I'm gonna hit on Dale Medkiff, and then you just fall over.
No, just the tripping part. Just that.
It was like you were trying to do something like cool, and then you just kept falling over.
Bust my ass three times.
Like three times, yeah. Yep. And that was actually pretty funny, because then she sits down next to the pinball machine, and for some reason at this point, the leader of the Scorpions gang from Greece and his slutty girlfriend have sex. On or during the, like, I don't, like, it was weird. I'm, like, trying to do the angles in my head.
They have sex on the pinball machine.
On the pinball machine.
And everyone is watching them, including the creepy bartender.
Who spills a 7-Up.
I don't know what
7-Up paid a lot of money to be in this movie.
Either way.
And they got their money's worth, is all I have to say.
It was awful. And then they tried to corner her later, because she's like, all right, this is fucking weird, I'm out of here.
Yeah, I have to leave a odd scarf on Dale Medkiff's, you know,
I'm going
motorcycle,
to keep his bandana.
And that means that we love each other. And then I'm going to go ahead and skate out of here. But oh no, the greasers from the Scorpion gang, you know, asked me something nasty, so
like,
I had to run away.
You want
to
have a match with the pinball wizard? And I'm like, that is the stupidest shit I've ever heard. So bad.
She knows,
so she's like, ew, no, don't touch me. And so she runs away.
Yeah, so she goes home. She has to talk to George. George explains to her that she's in love, and I'm like, ew, that's nasty.
Meanwhile, met him for 2 seconds. This is where my adult kicks in. I'm like, you don't know that boy. You don't even know him.
Didn't even know his name as far as I knew.
He could have germs. He could have the itchy scratchy. You don't even know him.
He could be dating your evil, stepmom's...
Not stepmom. But
like
possible
thing,
girlfriend.
Well, he was all up on the
your dad's possible girlfriend.
Julie apparently Clingstone was all over the president.
Jessica's dad.
Yeah, it was just nasty.
It was just weird.
Anyway,
she was just a big ugly slut.
We spin away from Jessica's just terrible romance thing, and yes, there is a horror movie in here somewhere. I assure you. At least that's what... Yeah, let me double check. Horror and sci-fi is what this is under. So definitely horror happening somewhere.
This is awful.
We do get an explanation at this point about the machine. We see they got a Doberman that is apparently has problems. Like, it's, just hates people. They took his bowl, turned that into a sphere, put it in his mouth. He becomes docile. But we do find out later that the dog does die. So doesthedogdie.com. Was wrong on this one. Somebody update that if they can. But he dies off screen. Apparently, if you put these balls into people for too long, they go a little schizo and start causing problems.
Balls in the mouth do not work very well.
Yeah, it doesn't work very good. If we thought that the balls, if we place the ball in the mouth, that they'd be okay. But it just doesn't work.
Two baguettes and an eclair.
Yes. We do have a lot of sex scenes in this movie, too. So if you're kind of weirded out by the...
Do not watch this with your parents.
Or anybody. Just watch it
by
yourself.
Or your brother and sister. Watch it by yourself. Yeah. Otherwise, it'll just be awkward.
Put it on a show where you have to keep putting 25 cents in for the little screen. You know what? Never mind.
This is not a Halloween party movie.
So we do have... it's so weird at this point. No, it's just odd, because we've got the situation that pops up with the first one to go down is the slutty girl.
Yes.
So what happens is that Oates somehow is able to find out where they are hanging out at. He convinces everybody to let him in. He goes upstairs to find the slutty girl that he banged while the car was getting, the tire fixed.
She goes and gets him.
Oh, that's right.
Ken, so Ken is like, no, we ain't fucking. You're gross.
Oh, that's right. Ken is having to pick up personal objects from everybody. Because I forgot that this is science voodoo.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have a personal object of the people before you're able to turn it into a little sphere, force it down their mouth, and then turn them into crazy people.
Mm-hmm. And so this is whenever she tries to hit on Ken, and Ken is like, no, I love my Lady Jessica.
Whose name I don't know, and I'm just going to be like...
I love my lady who gave me this scarf that has a J on it.
I have to smell it even harder, because it smells like lady.
Like lady sweat. But so that happens.
Oh, it's such an odd little situation, because... So Ken is in a room. He's gathering all this stuff up, because Julie says, you have to get me all this equipment, because I'll be evil. So he goes in there to steal stuff. At the mansion that is full of the three girls who are the test subjects.
Mm-hmm.
He grabs everything else except for one girl pops out of the bathroom and she's like, hey, I'm mostly naked, let's bang. Ken walks over to the camera, puts a coat over it or something like that so that he can...
Oh, I thought it was her.
That was him. That was Ken.
Oh, okay.
We see it on the video screen. And that pisses off Julie because apparently she's been banging Ken, which, ew.
Yeah.
But then Ken leaves and it pisses off the slutty girl.
You know what? No, I can't do this. And she's like, you can never get what you want.
Or something like that.
And
that was such an odd statement.
Yeah, so her slutty butt keeps... makes the driver take her back to the bar.
That's
so that
right.
way she can pick up the whatever we're calling
Oates.
Him. So she can pick up Oates. Oates comes back to the house with her. They proceed to have a weird dance scene.
Well, unfortunately, though, Slutty McStuster done pissed off Julie, who is now going to turn something into a ball, which goes into Slutty Girl. The Slutty Girl comes out of the bathroom.
And turns into a zombie.
She reminded me of, like, the front picture of Lair of the White Worm. She had, for some reason, her front, like, the bangs were slicked down, and then she jumps on top of on top of Oates, and has, like, weird...
She has really thick eye makeup on.
Like, and that's how we know nails. That she's got problems.
And long red nails.
She didn't have those before. So that's how we know that she's been speared. And then it just kind of cuts away. So I guess she's okay.
And they are, like, fully naked, and this is where we see fur and everything. Like,
yeah, it was
and it keeps doing frontal. This. Like, they don't actually...
For, like, a good 20, 30 seconds. Like, or like close to a minute, right?
Yeah, it was weird.
It was a long, like, sex sequence.
And,
like,
and all of these sex sequences are long and drawn out with the skeezy music, but they don't actually show any sort of, you know, penetration or anything like that. Like, that's too much. Like, that's too much. No, they can't show that.
This is 1980s Cinemax kind of... So, yeah.
They don't
Cinemax
show that.
After dark.
But what they do is that they cut away, and they do this repeatedly, they cut away to a different scene, and then whenever they cut back, the characters are fully clothed again.
Yep. So obviously time has passed and people have had sex. This is when we cut back to Jessica for a while, the girl, kid, who was like,
I know the best way to pick him up. I'm going to hitchhike.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, she hitchhikes around the scorpion gang leader, who comes into the very open, like, park next to the lake, and proceeds to just, you know, try to be violent on her. It's just nasty.
And
I was like,
God,
what the hell's
this
happening?
This is whenever Dale. Whenever Dale comes up. And decides that this shit ain't happening. That's his woman. Yeah. Jessica is his woman. Even though he's only talked to her once, ever, in his whole life.
Thankfully, George, the hand puppet, somehow knows that Jessica is in danger. So he turns the wristwatch of the scorpion gang leader into a sphere. And it goes into the guy's neck. And then explodes.
Explodes his head.
Just like, boop. It goes into his neck, he like, freaks out, falls into the water, it explodes, his eyes are poked out, we've got, like, a weird head thing floating in the water, and then it explodes again, and then we cut away, like, nothing happened.
And now, the two lovebirds are together.
We have this really weird sequence that happens at a gas station.
And it's like, they're supposed to have somehow clicked in this very, very short amount of time. They're just supposed to know each other and love each other and spend the rest of their lives together.
It was an odd yeah.
It was
weird.
Very, very weird.
And now we're going to just kind of wrap up everything because there's a lot of just nothing happening. We have about 3 or 4 sex scenes. What happens is that Oates and Gutenberg are able to buy the bar. They try to look for Scorpion Gang Leader, but they can't find him. So, but they do decide that they're going to go ahead and sleep with all the girls at the experiment. Julie decides she's just going to be ultra evil and infect everybody with stuff, including she's going to have
the maid. The maid
gets it too.
The driver?
No. Whatever happened to the driver? I don't think we see anything. Yeah. I think he just got the hell out of there. He was just drunk at the place. But the butler goes in and steals the stuff for Oates and Gutenberg.
Right.
And he's able to get the hell out of there. So he survives.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point, God, what is it? Ken is deciding that he's going to go ahead and steal all the money because... That's what he do.
He has found true love.
Yes, he's gonna take all the money, but he's got to go to Santa Barbara. Is like Santa Barbara.
San Jose.
He's got to go to San Jose in his little Cessna, and that's gonna solve everything. Nothing's happening with Jessica at this point. She's just chilling out, you know, after the whole terrible sequence. But the dog died, so we got that part, and that worries the professor. So he's like trying to shut everything down. Everybody's having sex at the experiment. So Gutenberg gets laid by the blonde, and unfortunately, she got toothpaste that had a sphere in it. Gutenberg had panties.
He got a hold of her panties.
He tried to smell them. And that had the ball in it. There it goes. Oates and other girl screw up, and they drank out of the same glass, and that's why you don't do that, and they're infected. The girl who was the super slut at the very beginning has, like,
combed off all of her hair.
Yeah, because she's lost her mind now, because the spheres do that to you. And just everything's beginning to fall apart.
Oh, and the maid. The maid is obsessed with spiders.
She's scared of spiders at the beginning, and then she becomes obsessed with spiders afterwards. And that has something to do with her wanting to stab people, which is what we see in a little bit. Jessica decides that she's going to go ahead and... Oh, no. That's right. Jessica's like, I'm going to run away with Dale Metcalf, and we're going to go beyond... time tracks together. Del Metcalf's like, I as soon as I can come back, I will pick you up. And Julie,
meet me at the airfield.
Clingstone is oh no, not the airfield, honey. The air ranch.
Yeah, air ranch.
The air ranch.
I was like, what the fuck is an air ranch?
Apparently, it's where you know.
It's a ranch with air.
You have air buffalo
airplanes
and air llamas there.
Air llamas.
But. Julia, being the bitch that she is, decides that, no, this isn't going to happen. She turns everything up to 11. And then she tells Jessica, hey, you need to get to the experiment house. Your daddy's there. And you got to find him.
Mind you, this is whenever she barges into her room and Jessica's, like, all, like, full torso, like, exposed. And her boobies are just out. And she just stops for a second and she's like, oh, Julia, don't you knock? And I'm like, that's just the oddest...
Just reaction a
lot boobles. Of this, a lot of this shit is just
this
weird.
Bitch comes up, it's like, hey, yeah, your dad's missing. You need to go talk to him. And
she does.
She goes up to the mansion. Meanwhile, daddy shows back up at the house, and he's like, what the hell is going on here? I told you not to be doing experiments with my machine. And Julia's like, hey, look over there. And what's that? It's a bonk on the head. And she hits him
with a can.
And it was like a solenoid or a battery or something like that. I don't even know what the hell was happening there. No, it was like a battery. It looked like a transistor, honestly. Like a gigantic transistor. She ties him up in the bathroom. Well, thankfully, Daddy is the smartest fucker in the entire world. He somehow is able to open up the medicine cabinet. Gets a razor out, gets himself out of the razor, gets him out of the rope. He tries to free himself, can't get down the door. He breaks the power line to the machine. Unfortunately, the power line to the machine is not fast enough to stop everybody from the experiment house going effing insane. Jessica shows up there, and she sees the girl with all of her hair gone. We got the blonde whose, like, eyes are seeping green. Everybody's drippy with the greenness on there.
Yeah, they're very goopy at this point.
And that's when she also gets... The blonde brings the scissors up. The spider-obsessed lady is stabbing people. Stabs her friend, Jessica's friend, who was there. Who was the third girl who was in the pool.
Stabs Oates. Whatever
his name is, Holland, yes, whatever. So Oates, unfortunately, starts trying to molest Jessica, but that's when, the stabbing happens. And Jessica, at this point, kind of folds up.
She just amazingly makes it, and nothing else happens to her.
And she just, like, curls up on the couch, and everybody else is, I guess, dead at that point. Julia goes there and starts going, ha ha, your daddy did this, it's all your fault and everything's bad. Dad, however, has yanked the power cable for the machine, is able to get the hell out of there, gets into a car, goes over to the experimental mansion that everything is happening at, gets out, and sees Julie having this conversation with his daughter and doesn't go inside to explain something until after she's like, no, daddy couldn't have done this. And then he's like, how dare you, Julia? You're terrible. It's like, ah, well, now I have the power. I'm leaving.
And then she comes back.
Like again. Three times.
And then she leaves. Back and in. Then she comes back. And then she and leaves. And like, she comes back again. She has to have the last word.
Good luck explaining this to the police. Ha ha. Bye bye. And then, okay.
And then she does finally leave, gets into the limo, and she calls Kent on the way, and she's like, okay, lover, I'm ready to leave. We have all the money. Ha ha. And he's like, no, I have all the money. I was written a cashier's check with my name on it, so technically you don't get shit.
Ha ha, loser.
And she's like, what the hell do you mean? And he's like, I'm leaving, bitch. I'm rich.
I'm going to go with Jessica, and we're going to live together, and everything's going to be happy. Jessica also decides, after seeing people murdered, she had enough time to go home. Dad is destroying papers like the dude in Hackers when he's trying to, like, hide all the crap that he's done, where he's, like, ripping everything up and putting them in bags.
Yes, yes.
And then She's like, it's okay, Daddy. Thanks for fixing everything. I'm going to go home.
It's time for me to leave. I'll call you whenever I'm on campus. Hey, wish me luck with my new boyfriend, Kent. And then she leaves.
Ken.
Whatever.
Anyway. So she just hauls the frig out there. Oh, we also do understand now that George is working again. So the puppet that had been destroyed that was causing a lot of the things beforehand is back up and running, just kind of as an offhand, because we need it for the finale. It's at this point that Julia ends up at the air ranch, and unfortunately she's sideswiped by at least 3 air bovine before the crazy spider lady comes out and she slits Julie's throat just with a giant machete knife.
Yep. And then she goes after Dale.
Makeif. Yep.
Yep.
Ken.
And she goes.
That's when Jessica shows up and she's like, no, Dale Medkiff, we have to be in, you know, Pet Cemetery together. Dale Medkiff's like, I need to get the fuck out of here. So he grabs a giant wrench, hits the spider lady. But unfortunately, the spider lady, even though her face is gone, is able to whip out her hand and hit like a light switch. And apparently this light switch holds like all of the tension for the sliding door that is on the front of the plane.
I thought it was George that made her hands pop out or whatever. Because
maybe. Because he's like, ah, she's in danger.
Protection Jessica.
Yeah.
Protect Jessica.
Protect Jessica from evil Ken. And that's when the whole garage door falls down on Ken and he dies and that's the end.
It squashes him.
Yeah, goes to the end right after that.
And she screams.
We actually do get Dale Medkiff's head smooshed out with eyes.
Yeah.
So his eyes were like poked out.
That was gross. It was like a tube of toothpaste.
And that's the end. Oh my God. Oh my God.
So bad.
I loved it.
I'm so tired.
It. It was so terrible.
I'm so tired now. It was so bad.
It was so awesome.
All right, what are you going to rate it?
Oh, this was a 6 out of 10.
Are you serious?
This is 6 exploding dumb Medkiff's heads out of 10. It is a lot of boobage, lot of full frontal, lot of sex. You know, it's just terrible. People's heads are exploding, though. And Hall & Oates guy is dripping goo all over people's faces. We got, you know, creepy lady with, like, weird teeth for no reason. Which I don't think can happen because the whole thing was supposed to only work on your neural systems, mm-hmm. not turn you into a goopy person. I love it. What about you?
I'm going to give it 2 baguettes out of 10. I'm never going to watch this movie again.
That's fine.
It was awful.
You don't have to.
Even making fun of it was hard. Because I was like, this movie is so bad.
It was so much fun.
And there's so much weird boobs and, like, and I mean, obviously, like, I'm a lady, you know? But there are some ladies' boobies who are just weird and they should not be, they should not be on video.
Okay. Oh my God. And I think that one was actually the girl who played Talia Winters. And so if you're a big B5 fan and you want to see Talia Winters topless, you can watch this movie. So, you know,
just don't,
huzzah.
Though. Just don't.
Again, Tubi. Anytime. Just go for it. You got that one. Anyway, what about you? Did you like this movie? Did you watch something terrible? Do you remember Time Tracks or Babylon 5 or RoboCop 3? Let us know. Reach out to us. ESAT3AM@gmail.com is going to be the best way to reach us. Or you can reach us on our main website, ESAT3AM.com. Or you can reach us on Facebook and Twitter at ESAT3AM. Or... I think the anchor.fm/everythingscary@3am is still available. We'll go ahead and get that taken care of. Otherwise, we will see y'all later.